Robert Edsel's new book, Saving Italy, The Race to Rescue a Nation's Treasures from the Nazis, tells the unknown story of the hunt for Italy's greatest art treasures during World War II. The story begins in Milan in August 1443 with the survival of Leonardo da Vinci's masterpiece, Last Supper, almost destroyed by Allied bombing. Edsel follows two Americans, an artist and a scholar attached to the Allied armies, as they embark from Naples on the treasure hunt of a lifetime, moving through Italy, protecting historic buildings, sculpture, and paintings. Again, the title of the book is Saving Italy. Robert Edsel, welcome to the program, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be here.
What brought you to this subject and ultimately to these two men?
Well, I was living in Florence in 1996, and I didn't know that much about this story. And I knew enough about World War II to know that Europe was horribly beaten up from the war, so much destruction, of course, the loss of 65 million lives. And I wondered one day, if the cities were so beat up, how did so many of the works of art survive and so many of the great churches, and who were the people that saved them? And it was a great moment of surprise when I started asking the people that were around me that lived there, and they all said, boy, that's a great question. What's the answer? And I said, well, I don't know. You live here. And so it's taken me on this expedition over the last 16 years. Now this is my third book on the subject, my last book, The Monuments Men, which is about what these heroes did in Northern Europe, is being made into a film by George Clooney and an incredible all-star cast. And so this is really where it began, the creation of these monuments men, museum directors, curators, art historians, art professors, and artists have volunteered for service during World War II to try and save some of the cultural treasures of Europe, and it all began in Italy.
Let's talk about two of these officers who are at the center of the story. Portrait painter Dean Keller and art scholar Fred Hart. How did these two men come together?
Well, Keller was more typical of the other monuments officers. He's 42 years old. He's got an established career as a professor of art at Yale. He has a three-year-old son, a very established career, an established life, and every reason in the world to not volunteer for military service, but he felt he had a contribution to make. He was schooled in Italy for 3 years from 1926 to 29 between the wars and spoke Italian fluently, and he saw his class size at Yale dwindle and reduce down to nothing as a result of the draft and younger men volunteering, and he felt, you know, we've got something we can do here. This is important. We should get involved. Fred Hart was a budding art historian. He was 29, much younger than the other monuments officers, and this age difference became a source of conflict for them at various points, because Hart, being idealistic, wanted to try and save every building from engineers wanting to knock down things that had been damaged, not understanding many of them could be repaired to use the materials to build roads. And Keller understood, you know, for this to have any chance of succeeding, the monuments officers had to persuade the troops to cooperate and get behind it. And it was a difference in someone that's been beaten up by life at 42 versus someone quite idealistic.
And in their mission, how much did they know of what was taken, what was threatened, and creating this list, if you will?
Well, you're right to point out the beginning of the book, which is the near destruction of the Last Supper, which happens in August 43. These monuments officers aren't really aware of this at this stage. The war, of course, is in full force. We land in Sicily in July 1943, but a bomb that the Allies, British in this case, deliberately bombed the center city of Milan. There wasn't consideration given at that point in time, because the monuments operation wasn't up and running, to what the consequences could be by bombing the center of a cultural city like that. And as a consequence, one bomb fell in the courtyard and obliterated the east wall of this dining hall that the Last Supper's painted on, and the roof collapsed. And if it hadn't been for the work of the Italian officials anticipating something like this could happen, the Last Supper would be rubble. There'd be no Da Vinci Code, because the painting would never have survived. Fred Hart figured this out when he was studying bomb damage assessments and was horrified to see these photographs, aerial photographs, and of course you'd think it'd be kind of hard to pick out, except the devastation was so extreme he could see that there was nothing of the building standing other than the north wall. Keller, on the other hand, had a great understanding, having arrived in Naples in February 1944, of the immense destruction of the city, first by Allied bombing to try and soften up the city to be able to, for Allied troops to get in there. And then in the course of time here, in the month of May, June, July, by the time they arrive in Florence in the summer of 1944, they are horrified to discover that almost 800 of the most important paintings and sculpture, including works by Michelangelo, Da Vinci, Botticelli, have been taken by German forces on trucks, open-air trucks, driven up these bomb-cratered roads to the north towards Germany, and it begins this treasure hunt on their part to try and track down where these things are and ultimately find them.
The cover of the book is so striking of Michelangelo's David in Florence, the statue there with amongst rubble. Give us a sense of what happened and what that and what that basically describe a photo on the radio. What happened.
If it was any other photo, you would be giving me a pretty tough homework assignment, but this one's pretty easy. Everybody in the world, whether they like art or not, can just see a silhouette of the David, and they know that's the David. Michelangelo sculpted it, and it's somewhere in Florence. It happens to be in a building called the Accademia, but this is a building that was built around the thing because of its size, and it was not able to be moved out and evacuated outside the city, as Italian officials were doing with all their works of art, out of fear that Allied bombing might impact the works of art in the cities, as it did in Milan, as it nearly blew up the Last Supper. And so as a consequence, all they could think to do about the David was to entomb it in brick. So there's this brick capsule, or silo, if you will, that covers the David and some of his other works inside this building, hoping that if there was a direct hit that hit the roof of the building and it collapsed, that maybe the brick silo would deflect away the rubble from the ceiling and still protect the sculpture. As it turned out, that did not end up happening. What ended up happening in Milan with the Last Supper didn't happen to the David, although the American Army Air Force did bomb the rail yards in Florence, and it was the most precise bombing mission of World War II. They hit exactly what they targeted because they understood how grave the consequences would be for bombs straying away. The David was left in its tomb until the end of the war, and when Dean Keller ultimately found these works of art from Florence and got them back, he made a point of going over to see it. And the workers there had just finished removing the upper portion of the brick tomb, if you will, and all of the foundation rubble was still there and portion of the brick down at the bottom. So you see this photo of Dean Keller's driver standing there with one of the Italian officials looking up at the David with dust and piles of brick all the way around it, in a way that anyone that's ever seen the David, a photograph of it, will never have seen this photo before. It really goes to show how close some of these works of art were to being lost during the war.
And how successful the effort was to save it, because while it is surrounded in rubble, the work itself is unharmed.
Well, that's right. And I think that, you know, the Monuments Men didn't save all these things on their own. We had 8 million soldiers over there in the American Army that were doing their job, and all of it was made possible because General Eisenhower issued these historic orders in December 1943 that said it was the responsibility not just of commanders, but all troops to try and protect cultural treasures so much as war allows. He said, clearly, if it comes down to a thing or the lives of our men, the lives of our men count more, but too oftentimes this is used as an excuse of convenience. And that was a sea change in the way wars were fought. These monuments officers were a new kind of soldier. They were charged with saving things rather than destroying. And the United States, this is an amazing part of our history that we don't know about. The United States set the standard for the protection of cultural treasures during World War II. And this is no small story, like their effort in Northern Europe. These monuments officers on the front lines, two of them were killed in Northern Europe. Dean Keller went into booby-trap buildings practically every day to try and get these things protected. And it's a very, very heroic effort. And, you know, again, I think the magnitude of it pretty well speaks for itself. Uh, the the George Clooney effort on the last book about what took place in Northern Europe. This is a big, big story, or you don't have that kind of story being told on film.
When it comes to the legacy of this project and what we learned from it, what do you think that is?
Well, I think for Americans, you know, we get beat up a lot and we beat ourselves up a lot about mistakes that we make. And I think that's one of the great strengths of being an American and of our country. I think this is a great chance for us to realize that this is a moment in time when, if ever, the United States would have been excused for forgetting something. I think it would have been during World War II. We had our hands full, but we didn't forget. President Roosevelt authorized the creation of these monuments officers. There were only 45 ever in Italy. There were only about 20 during the war, during the high point of the war. Only about 100 monuments officers in Northern Europe by the end of the war, but it started with a dozen of them. And I think that's an important moment for us to remember as Americans, that so many of these, I mean, millions and millions of books and cultural treasures that were recovered by the monuments officers throughout Europe and in Italy, ultimately returned to the museums in Florence, all these works were given back. We did not keep any of these things as spoils of war. It was a policy of the Western Allies to return the things to the countries from which they were taken. And I think what underscores the importance of this story for us in modern times is, first of all, there's still hundreds of thousands of works of art missing from World War II, thousands alone from the museums and private collections in Italy that I think will surface over the next 5 years or so as we lose more World War II veterans from all countries. But more so, you know, in the aftermath of the looting of the National Museum of Iraq and Baghdad in 2003, there were no monuments officers there. There was no monuments effort in any war since World War II. It was something that our leaders just didn't think about, as foolish as that sounds. And we ended up having embittering a billion people around the world that looked at us as cultural oafs, that, you know, how that we showed disrespect for these things. That wasn't the case at all. Our young men and women in uniform are incredible in the field, but they need orders, and those orders have to come from the top. And that was the lesson of World War II. President Roosevelt set the standard, General Eisenhower issued the orders, and the monuments officers were the ones that implemented them.
Well, the title of the book is Saving Italy, The Race to Rescue a Nation's Treasures from the Nazis. The book is published by Norton. Robert Edsel, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for spending your time with us.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book, Saving Italy, it's published by Norton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.